We will pause for a few moments of silent prayer before we begin, and this will afford you the time to use rebound if necessary and make whatever mental attitude adjustments are required for concentration upon our study. Let's pray. Father, as we continue this study, we do pray that the Holy Spirit would enlighten us regarding the things we're about to examine. And we thank you for the opportunity to pursue this particular doctrine. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. Now this evening, we want to move into another study in our notes here. And we've been looking at several excerpts that highlight some of the things that are going on in Daniel chapter 9, beginning at verse 24. And running through verse 27, that is a prophecy of the appearance of Messiah into human history in true humanity. And therefore, it becomes a very important prophecy. Daniel, the book, is filled with them. And we noted one of those last night regarding the big guy that was made out of several metals, and each one representing an area of human history. The people who were involved and the battles that they fought and so on. And these prophecies highlight out of Daniel a number of things that are to occur as the Jewish nation continues its dispersion, its diaspora in Babylon and beyond. And so tonight we move into another area. This is one in which Jesus Christ is involved, and he is going to answer a question that's posed by his disciples. In fact, there will be three questions involved, and this takes up Matthew chapter 24, verses 4 through 8. Now, in the middle of all of this, it's going to become necessary for us to consult Matthew, that is the Gospel of Matthew. We're going to be at verse 24, chapter 24, and verses 3 and beyond. We will note some things in this, and it's going to be taking on a dispensational aspect. Three dispensations are going to be viewed here. Now, Jesus, in doing all of this, will explain the circumstances that will prevail throughout the church age. And that section of the passage will take up Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. So I might tell you as we begin to move through this where the brackets are, whereas the three questions are going to be answered by Jesus Christ. The church age is going to be discussed by him in chapter 24, verses 4 through 8. And then we're going to see the second advent. That's not right either. The reason it's difficult here for me because it involves numbers. The questions are going to be asked out of chronological order. Jesus is going to answer them in chronological order. So when the questions are asked, they're not charting the dispensational process. They're just simply curious and they're spouting off at the mouth. The second advent is the last section that we will observe. That will begin in verse 27 and go through verse 31. That will discuss the second advent. The third question that is posed is found in the middle of 1 and 2. And that begins in verse 9, and it will run over to verse 15. So we will take this up as it occurs in our strategy here. So Matthew 24, verse 3 is going to introduce the questions that are posed to Christ by the disciples. As Jesus was sitting on the Mount of Olives, his disciples suddenly appeared to him saying, question number 1, tell us when these things will happen. Well, what are these things? It goes back to his comment on the temple. He's saying this is going to be torn down. Well, that's going to reference A.D. 70, when Titus is going to finish the siege of Jerusalem and is going to tear down the temple. And so they're curious, when's this temple going to be destroyed? When's it going to be torn down? So that's question number 1. So the question, tell us when these things will happen, the destruction of the temple, and that will be discussed in Luke 21, verses 20 through 24. Question number two, what will be the sign of your coming? That references quite obviously the second advent, and that begins verse 27. Then question number three, what will be the sign of the end of the dispensation of Israel? Now, I have given an expanded translation of the questions, so it'll be clear to you before we start precisely what they're talking about. Question number one, the things that will happen have to do with his comments on the destruction of the temple. Secondly, what's the sign of your coming? That's discussing the second advent. What will be the sign of the end of the dispensation? That will be, of course, the tribulation. So the disciples' questions encompass three dispensations, which are asked out of chronological order, which is posed as follows. Question number one, tell us when these things will happen. The destruction of the temple will occur in the church age. That's A.D. 70. Then you also will find that in Matthew 24, verses 4 through 8. Question number three, in chronological order, comes next. What will be the sign of the end of the dispensation of Israel? The tribulation will be the time when Lucifer seeks to impose genocide upon the world's Jewish population. That's verses 9 through 26. Note that's chronological in order of the questions that are asked, not the order that they're asked. And then finally, you have question number two. That should come final on the list chronologically. What will be the sign of your coming? That's obviously the second advent, Matthew 24, 27 through 31. Now, with that understood, let's go back to the top and begin with Matthew 24, verse 4. Be alert. Make sure no one deceives you through human viewpoint. Now, this has to do with what? This has to do with the siege by the Romans in A.D. 67 through 70. This is the siege upon the city of Jerusalem and also upon the temple at the end. And I've shown you pictures of that and so on. We won't mess with that tonight. But that is the context of this question and the answer by Jesus Christ. And he continues in verse 5, for many will come on the basis of my reputation, saying, I am the Christ. And they will deceive many reversionistic believers. Christ, you remember, was resurrected, but then he ascended into heaven and was seated at the right hand of the Father. There will be those who hope to delude people by saying, I am the Christ, assuming that they will think that he really didn't ascend into heaven, or that if he did, he has come back, and now they can deceive others by claiming to be the Christ. So do not buy that lie, is what he's saying. Verse 6, also, you will surely hear of wars. That will be hot wars where guns are fired, swords actually, and rumors of wars. That will be propaganda. Be alert and do not be frightened, for it is necessary that these things occur. But the end of the dispensation of the tribulation is not yet. In other words, they are not to think that the tribulation is going to be a part of what will occur in very near history, meaning the Roman invasion of Judea, the Roman invasion of Jerusalem, and then the taking down of the temple. You're not to think that the tribulation is what's going on there. This new dispensation that is going on, that new dispensation that will take place very shortly, is the church age. Now, he didn't tell them that, but they need to try to figure that out later on when things actually develop that way. Then verse 7, for nation shall be attacked by nation, and kingdom shall fight against kingdom. There will be famines, meaning economic disasters, and earthquakes in various places. Couple of things here. Nation will be attacked by nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be wars and rumors of wars, in other words. There's not going to be a time when man is going to get along peacefully with each other until the millennial kingdom. until then, there's always going to be some type of propaganda. Somebody's always going to think that they can get the advantage. Propaganda in the sense of the ideologies that emerge from time to time. These things are going to cause people to come in combat with each other. They'll do it through propaganda. They'll do it with weapons. But that always will be a part of the church age, and you are to understand that. All of this business about us having peace in our time, you cannot have peace with people who are evil. People involved in media today, university, academia, they are constantly trying to redefine words or to ban words. And one of the words you do not use in their presence is the word evil. They do not believe that it exists. And so to try to define a group of people and define the activities and the ideas that they promote, such as Islam, such as all that is associated with Islam, it is totally evil. But to call it evil means that you are going to be attacked for using a word that has been banned. But evil is a part of the devil's world. Evil is a part of human good that metastasizes into something much greater. And we see that culminating today globally. And Islam is behind most of it. They are evil. Anyone involved in that is either evil actively or evil by the way they think innocently. You can't blame people who are drawn into an organization that was thought up by Lucifer himself and therefore communicated through types of, let's call it, angelic communication through demon possession, etc. This all took place in the 7th century, and it has grown and metastasized into one of the greatest evils that has ever been introduced upon mankind. And we are dealing with it today in spades. And until we come around to understanding, this entire operation is the very definition of metastasized evil. And if we do not call it what it is and address it for what it is, then we are buying in to a great deal of trouble. And the Lord is addressing that idea in this passage. Notice also in verse 6 something we might comment upon. Be alert and do not be frightened because of these wars and rumors of wars. For it is necessary, he says, that these things occur. Why is it necessary? Because it's in the divine decree. God knows all that is knowable, therefore he knows all that is actual history as opposed to potential history. And if he's talking about wars and rumors of wars, and he's saying to you, it is necessary that these things occur, why is it necessary? For evil has to be exposed, and once exposed, it has to be addressed. And if you do not do that, you will be destroyed by it. So it's in the decree. Know that. Therefore, if you're in the State Department of the United States of America, if you're in the military, you work at the Pentagon, that's an idea you need to know and understand. You need to prepare for war in the best possible way. You need to sit around in think tanks that come up with these scenarios on how to handle concept A, concept B, concept C, and so on. War games, they call it. And they had better sit down and understand that there is going to be war, and that war currently is going to be propagated by Islam in some manner or fashion. Therefore, we must be prepared. We must therefore start today to get ready to figure out the kinds of strategies that can handle this kind of evil. That's what the Lord is talking about here. They ask the question, they get the answer. Finally, all of these things are just the beginning of the birth pangs. What are the birth pangs? The birth pangs where you actually you've already conceived, you've gone through the process of making the baby, and then you deliver it. And what you deliver is hell. And that starts in the tribulation. We're not there yet, he's saying. In fact, this is just at the beginning of the birth pangs. Now, the international crises, actually, there are many international crises, and that's what he's speaking of here. He's looking into the future. Notice that he is speaking in the first century. We're in the what is it, the year 2015? Well, how many years ago is it that we've been talking here? He's in the first century. This is the 21st. And he says, between now and yonder, before this tribulation event occurs, before the last heptad is unveiled, international crises will occur in the church age only to serve warning to those that will follow the spiritual vacuum caused by the departure of believers at the rapture. So there's a departure of thought in the church age that leads to crises in client nations. And we've recently studied that. So what is it that goes on in these wars and rumors of wars? Client nations are under assault. Why? Absence or loss of thought. Loss of thought is going to lead to a war. The war is designed by Lucifer himself to banish a client nation from history so he can get on with his business. And then ultimately, it's going to be the tribulation because the rapture of the church has occurred. Now you can go to 2 Thessalonians and see this in chapter 2. It's speaking there that there is a power on this earth that restrains evil. And that power has to do with a client nation in ascendancy, because the people in it are believing in Jesus Christ, therefore acquiring the teaching ministry of the Holy Spirit. And in that acquisition, they build within their souls a great deal of information that allows them to think clearly under pressure. And when they are at their ascendancy, they've reached the summit of the high ground, their thought process, the integrity of thought in their soul is enough for Jesus Christ to hold history in place on their behalf. And as he holds the fort at the shores of that client nation, and he is able to do this because it's in the divine decree. The way people think results in decisions being made that result in good actions following, and those actions defend that country. Doctrine conquers all. That's the idea. But as soon as there's a loss of thought, then somebody is going to rattle their saber and say they are weak at this moment and we can go take them down and we can get rid of all of these believers who are causing these problems. Now, on the invisible war side, that's the way they think, because Lucifer himself is running that show. So to repeat, the international crises that occur in the church age only serve to warn of those that will follow the spiritual vacuum caused by the departure of believers at the rapture of the church. You are the most important people in Client Nation America at this hour. Your inventory of ideas is consulted by Jesus Christ as he controls history. And the more that have that thought, the stronger the shores become. A wall of fire is constantly made available for those who know the word and stand by it and execute it. Therefore, what he's teaching here is church age information. This is the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. It's not happy times in the church age. It's never going to be, he says. Therefore, believers throughout this dispensation have to take seriously the obligation that they commit to when they believe in Jesus Christ. They have to go to church and learn about him. Go to church and learn about God. Go to church and learn the doctrines you're going to need to sustain the advances from the dark side that will occur your entire life. So the trials described in Matthew's passage are common throughout the dispensation of the church. When it's a happy day, the sun shines, no shots are fired, no heads are chopped off. It's a rare day in your life. Now, of the four verses in Daniel's prophecy, the most technical to decipher is verse 26. It requires Daniel to report prophecies that will occur in the church age without any knowledge of that dispensation. Now, see the situation for Daniel. How does he write the book of Daniel? How is it that he is able to transcribe these prophecies, some of which occur in the church age about which he has no knowledge. When you study the scriptures, you're looking at 40 different authors approximately. We don't know precisely. You're looking at all of these 66 books written at different times across a vista of maybe 1,500, maybe 2,000 years, been preserved very accurately and precisely as we've noted in studies in the past. And we can take this book and we can open it and we can study it. But who are these guys that sat down and wrote these things centuries and millennia ago? We've studied how precisely these writings have been preserved, so we can trust it. Now, verse 26 is important, but verses 24 through 27 form a prophecy about future events that will come true in the latter heptad leading up to Jesus Christ's appearance in human history. In other words, we're looking at ultimately the 69th Jubilee at the time that he's crucified. And when we get to that point, we're looking at the verge of the church age. And then he's going to make prophecies regarding that. So the church age is going to have prophecies that Daniel is going to present to us, and he doesn't even know about the church age. Well, we're in verse 26, so let's note the expanded translation of the verse giving details of the destruction of the temple. Daniel 9:26. Then after the 62 heptads, that's 434 years, have passed, the Messiah will be cut off. That is year 483, the 69th heptad. Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. In other words, he is not executed really because of who he is. He's executed because of the mission that has been given to him. This is therefore for the sins of the world, and that payment will occur on April 3rd, A.D. 33. Now, please note the ellipsis that is indicated by the three dots. If you're writing and you run across something that you don't really want to use, and you want to indicate that there's something missing there, that you've gone on and quoted something else later in the excerpt that you have before you. So you start with a concept, and then something there that you don't want to use, and then you want to finish off with something that you do. You indicate that something is missing there by putting in an ellipsis, which is indicated by these three little dots. That I am using to note the dispensation of the church is indicated or intercalated right there. What follows next has to do with the tribulation. The rest of the verse prophesies events that take place in the dispensation of the tribulation. In order to see that, we go back to the top of the verse. Then after the 62 heptads have passed, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. That's the crucifixion. And then we have the ellipsis. There's nothing really there. Daniel left that off. Why? He mentions nothing of the church age there, but it represents the church age because of what he says next. What does he say next? The people of the prince who is to come. Who are the people? I've taught you that. It's the Romans. Who were the Romans that actually did the deed? Vespasian, Titus, and the Roman legions. They're Romans. They came down to Palestine. They came into Jerusalem. They destroyed the city. They destroyed the temple. Now, they are the people. The people of the prince who is to come. This is a citizen of the area that includes the boundaries of nations comprising the former Roman Empire. It was the effective, functional, ancient Roman Empire, as we look at it, from which this prince will come. Therefore, he is the beast dictator who becomes the ruling prince of the revived Roman Empire in the dispensation of the tribulation. So there's our next dispensation. What is it that Daniel doesn't mention? He doesn't mention the church age, although this illustration of the people, simply the word the people, makes reference to the former Roman Empire. Those guys function in the church age, A.D. 70. But he is using the people to identify who the prince is. The prince is the beast dictator, the Satan-filled beast dictator that runs the show of Western Europe at the time that he arises in the dispensation of the tribulation. So let's do it again. Then after the 62 heptads, the 434 years have passed, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. Church age intercalation. The people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city, and the end will come like a flood. Okay, let's go back and see the destruction of the city. By the way, this is going to put a bracket on Daniel's prophecy. The bracket begins with Artaxerxes Longimanus, 445. And we click off the heptads. The heptad closes out here at 490 with the tribulation. But there's going to be an intercalation of the church age, which is currently running. And it's, how long has the church age been running? 2,014 years, approximately. Because it got cranked up in 33. So there's a little gap there. We're only at 15. So we got church age running here. Now, it is going to be intercalated into the dispensational sequence. Also, we don't know when it will end because there's no prophecy for that. So we go to the writings of the apostles in the texts of the New Testament, and we learn that there's going to be a dispensation of the tribulation. We know that it's the final heptad. When will it occur? We don't know, because the church age has to come to a conclusion before the final heptad, therefore, can play out. So the church age rocks along all the way to the year currently, to 2015. Therefore, the church age will come to a stop. We don't know when, but we do know that there is an interim between this point here. See, let's work out Daniel's deal here. Let's work out Daniel's deal all the way to, let's say, here. And at this point, we're going to have the destruction of the temple, and that will be 70. That's when the church age begins. So the intercalation, if you can see this, see if I can start this over again. We've got two things going on here simultaneously. This is Daniel's prophecy. But within this, we're going to insert an intercalation of a dispensation called the church. All right, it started at A.D. 70. That's when this begins. That's when the parenthesis begins. And it's going to end out here at the rapture of the church. Well, when is that going to be? We don't know. But we do know this. We do know that it could occur at any moment, because there's no prophecy that must be fulfilled before the rapture can occur. Therefore, it could occur at any moment. So what's the end part here? We don't know. And therefore, we must understand that the dispensation will come to an end at any moment. And then at that point, the final heptad will occur. This is a 7-year period. And that's what we're dealing with here. Now, when you're looking at a prophecy like this, and you have the intercalation implied, because he talks about the guys from Rome. We've got Vespasian and Titus, and they're going to attack Jerusalem. And that's going to occur in the church age, but he doesn't know that. So we've got to understand that that occurs right in the middle of this portion of the prophecy. And we do that by breaking this down. Here is our bracket, 445 B.C. and we go all the way up here to whenever. That's going to occur whenever the time zone works out. The time is going to work out at the end of this 7-year heptad. But the church age has been inserted in the middle of this, and therefore, because we do not know how long it will transpire, we can't in any way prophesy or discuss in our meeting here when the tribulation will occur. It will follow the rapture, and the rapture will occur when God gets ready for it to occur. And it will conclude the church age dispensation. So we're working really, we've got two time zones here working for us. What dispensation does the brackets of Daniel occur? Well, we do know it starts in the dispensation of Israel. But then also, it runs right up against the church age. So we've got already 2,000 years going with the church age. And then after that's over, we go back to the dispensation of Israel. And then once that's over, we've got the second advent, and now suddenly we're in the millennial kingdom for 1,000 years. So when you get to a thing like this that we see in Daniel 9:26, you'd better know your dispensations. So with that in mind, let's start back at the top. Then after the 62 heptads have passed, the Messiah will be cut off, but not for himself. The people of the prince who is to come, in other words, he'll be a Roman. He'll come from that area of Rome. I think I left the map in here. There it is. He'll come from that maroon area. Don't know what breed of cat he'll be, but he'll be from that piece of real estate. That's the prince who will come. When will he come? Will he come in the church age? No. We know that he will come in the dispensation of the tribulation. So we've got to jump ahead and see where he comes in the history. He will destroy the city. The people in this actual event are the Roman army, led first by Vespasian and later by Titus, who will destroy Jerusalem and the temple on August 10th. Of AD 70. Now that's church age, you see. Daniel doesn't know that. And the end will come like a flood. In other words, the city and the people are overwhelmed by the Roman army. And when the smoke clears, they're going to hit yet another diaspora. That will be the final diaspora for the Jews. They currently remain in that diaspora that occurred in AD 70. And they are to remain dispersed for their protection until Jesus Christ rescues them at the end of the final heptad and takes them into the millennial kingdom. So the city and the people are the ones that overwhelm the Jews. Then even to the end. Now the end here is the dispensation of Israel at the second advent of Messiah. So now we're at a third dispensation. We've got Israel, we've got the mystery dispensation of the church, we've got the tribulation, we've got the millennium. It says here, even to the end of the tribulation, leading to the culmination of it all, the second advent of Messiah. There will be war. In other words, war and disasters are decreed. You have no idea the global combat that will occur during that 7 years. It will be God-awful. Now, that's a prophecy. Now, as I noted earlier, as Jesus Christ was going through his reply in Matthew chapter 24, verse 4, he said, "You will surely hear of wars, combat, rumors of wars, propaganda. Be alert. Do not be frightened, for it is necessary that these things occur, but the end of the dispensation of the tribulation is not yet." Everything is in the divine decree. What is a prophecy? A prophecy is someone receiving information from the Holy Spirit, and he is going to transfer that information to a writer of Scripture. And the writer is going to put that down on some type of a writing receptor, like parchment, so on. And then that is preserved over time, and we get around to reading it. And therefore, when you run across this thing in Matthew 24 or Daniel chapter 9, and it's talking about things that will happen in the future when written, and even now in this hour, as we look at this, as we are sitting in the church age, we can take a look at Matthew 24, and we know that wars and rumors of wars are presently afoot around this world, therefore fulfilling this prophecy. And they will go on, he says, throughout the dispensation. So what are we to take from this? We are going to encounter wars as long as we live personally, and they will go on after we die if the rapture doesn't intervene. So get real, people of America. This is not unusual. It's not something that politicians can prevent. Jesus Christ said they will occur. They're in the decree. Things that happen in the tribulation will occur. They're in the decree. We need to understand that. Anybody with good common sense that knows Scripture can easily understand that we need to have good, clear thinking within the military personnel in this client nation. They must be ready to defend the shores. But even more so, the people within the population of this country who are believers in Jesus Christ need to get their act together. They need to get doctrine in their souls and learn the truth of what is real around us. We are being assaulted by the dark side led by Lucifer himself. And that man has the intelligence and the wherewithal to instruct others at a time in the future. My Lord said in one of these passages, just get your act together. This is just the beginning of the birth pangs. And what's he telling those people sitting there? He's saying, you ask the question, here's the answer. And it's church age information, stuff they don't know about yet. When are they going to tear down that temple, they ask. Be alert. Some of these guys maybe will be alive in AD 70. They may be a part of the diaspora of Babylon. I don't know how old these guys are. Some of them probably in their 30s. You know, the Lord was in his early 30s. Maybe they're in their 30s. Can they live 100 years? Well, they got people in their family probably that will. And they better get back home and tell them about this thing they've just learned. So the conclusion. I just turned it off. If you turn it back on, I'd appreciate it. I've got some under here. I just want to pester you people. How about this? Cheers. Oh, you have to come up here. This is called an intercalation.
Get rid of your... Actually, we'll keep them.
Nicely done. That's my computer at home, by the way. Isn't it wonderful how they do that? I've got a bad cold, and so you know when you have a bad cold, that wonderful collection of goo occurs that you have to deal with from time to time. Thank you, sir. And so when that occurs, you have to clear your throat. And so there you go. Ignore this for right now. We've done that. Let's note our conclusion. The people, the Romans and the Roman legions, circa AD 70, describe the progeny of the prince who is to come. The progeny. What flavor of cat is he? We've already eliminated the French. We've decided that's not going to happen. But there's going to be quite a number of others that are qualified. Describe the progeny of the prince who is to come. The Antichrist of the tribulation. And there will be a Jewish presence back in the land. The Lord will allow them to come back on his account this time. But this is tribulational stuff. They've come back ahead of time, as you will note. They should not be where they are today. They are in harm's way. But why? Because the people who are ultimately going to assault them with intent of genocide are most, there's a good chance that who those people are in the tribulation are going to be from Islam, Arabs. You know, back in the day when I first got involved in studying the Bible, you always want to get into prophecy and that kind of thing. You want to look at Revelation and you get in Daniel. In fact, you need to study Daniel before you study Revelation because they play off of each other. But nevertheless, you get to wondering who the bad guys are that go after the Jews. And some people have even written books about it, saying that the bad guy is going to be a Catholic, like the Pope or something like that. And it's going to be because they're all over the world and they breed like cats, I think the recent Pope said. I think it's a quote. Rabbits, he said. Okay. Well, you can produce more rabbits, mostly anything else. So those former Catholics that are in here, you know, that's how you're summed up. Rabbits. So there's going to be a lot of them. So that was the conclusion. There's so many of these Catholics and they breed like rabbits, so they'll be the ones. Books were written about that. And they were not looking into other candidates. And I believe that the candidates at least emerging presently are the Arabs. They too breed like rabbits. So the more of the enemy there is, the more it is to kill. So that's the problem. And when I say to kill, I don't mean for you to do that. You're to sheathe your sword. We have the military that's supposed to be prepared to do that kind of thing. And, of course, we've got this movie out now called American Sniper. He was a SEAL Team 6 SEAL, I guess, they keep telling me, which means that he was a pretty bad guy himself. We know that we know personally some SEALs, and they have dulcet tones, but they will kill you in a heartbeat. So that, I think they speak softly but carry a very good weapon. So there's that. So we do have some people who have been trained to do the job. In the dispensation of the tribulation, there needs to be a great deal. And the Lord is prophesying here to these guys, you need to know that bad times are coming, and that's just the beginning of all of this. So we've got this situation before us. It is with them that the Antichrist will enter into a treaty that will last for 7 years. That will happen early in the dispensation of the tribulation. He's going to crawfish, though, so be prepared for that. It is at the halfway mark, 3.5 years, that the Antichrist will crawfish on the Jews and begin his hoped-for genocide. He's going to be a liar. Enter into a contract, a treaty. I'm going to be nice to you for the next 7 years. And then 3.5 years deep, he crawfishes. Lucifer's only hope of avoiding the great white throne judgment is to eradicate every Jew from the face of the earth. The reason for that, if the Jews can be wiped out, then God would not be able to fulfill the 4 unconditional covenants given to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's his ace in the hole. Kill every Jew, therefore there's nothing to fulfill. God will be trumped because all the Jews are dead, and he cannot fulfill the unconditional covenants. So that's why Jews always have crosshairs on them. If there's ever any aggression against a Jew or the Jewish people, it is part of the satanic strategy to circumvent the millennial kingdom and the second advent. So Daniel's prophecy of this black male follows in the next verse. This is Daniel 9:27. This is the last verse in his prophecy. And the beast dictator shall make a firm treaty with the many. The many, the Jews of the tribulation, for 7 years. And that will be the 70th heptad. And in the midst of the heptad, the beast dictator shall cause the sacrifice and food offerings to stop. So he's allowed these kinds of things to go on at the temple, and he's going to shut that down. This is the cessation of temple functions. Now, under the protection of the abominations, the beast dictator will cause desolation until the end of the tribulation. Now, these abominations simply amount to ecumenical religion. When you get into approximately Revelation 16, 17, and 18, you see how ecumenical religion becomes a force at the final period of the tribulation. Nothing is more evil, nothing is worse in its machinations than religion. You see this with Islam. They are willing to do anything to promote their objectives, and they hide behind the Quran, claiming the Quran gives them options to do these things. Well, what do we see in the forecasts given to us by such men as Daniel? They're prophesying out of the divine decree. In other words, when the Holy Spirit came to Daniel, there was certain information in the decree that God wanted to be revealed at that time. And therefore, if people will research and pay attention to and dissect what Daniel is teaching, then they will have access to future activities out of the divine decree. And they will be centered and targeted toward the Jews, and the Jews need to prepare for these things. They're not doing that. But nevertheless, the information has been provided for them. It's been there since about 530 B.C., That information gives them a forecast of what's in the future for them. And therefore, they need to be ready for it. We need to be more and more attuned to what goes on around us. Things that occur. We will get reports on television and newspapers and so on that tell us what's going on. I've tried my best to inform you of the strategy of the dark side so that when you see current events emerge, and then have sometimes a pretty good lifespan, the thing about Ferguson is still going on. We are able to interpret that. We know what's going on. It's just not something taken out of context of time. Causes, conditions, successions, and relations. Once one thing occurs, then another thing occurs, and then a third thing. All of this is played out at Ferguson for us. There was no mystery about it. And we were able to see that people can take an event such as that, propagandize it, pull from it lies, and then magnify those lies and repeat those lies to the point to where they become facts and truth in the minds of people so easily led without the information and guidance of the Word of God. We are fortunate that that particular event that was chosen, they could choose almost one a day around here. But they chose that one. That was the wrong one to choose because with proper investigation and forensics, the truth came out. And therefore, even the current Attorney General, just retired, the current Justice Department, which has just taken on a new leader, has finally come to the decision that Darren Wilson is innocent as the wind-driven snow. So that hoo-ha is over. And there was nothing unusual that went on August the 9th of last year. There was nothing that needed to be investigated. There was nothing that needed to change. Law enforcement did what law enforcement does, and the criminal did what criminals do. And once forensics proved what occurred there that night, there was nothing to do but say the man did his duty and there's no reason for us to investigate this farther. So a lot of time and money and energy and businesses and lives burned asunder for nothing. And that's the kind of world we live in, and the Lord tells us up front what we're going to confront and face. And we have to have the Word of God in our souls in order to evaluate the propaganda. And the beast dictator shall make a firm treaty with the many, that's the Jews of the tribulation, for 7 years, that's the 70th heptad. And in the midst of the heptad, the beast dictator shall cause the sacrifice and food offerings to stop. Under the protection of the abominations, that's ecumenical religion, the beast dictator will cause desolation until the end of the tribulation. Then that which is decreed, the lake of fire, will be poured out on the one who makes desolate, namely the beast dictator and the false prophet. Adios, boys. They're out of the show. The Lord then operates a couple of missions that have to be accomplished that are prophesied. The baptisms of fire for the Jews, baptisms of fire for the Gentiles. That's where you get all the unbelievers off the earth. Now we just got believers. They go into the millennial kingdom, Jew and Gentile, and the millennial kingdom begins. Now the ascendancy of ecumenical religion is prophesied by Daniel and will be supported by the beast dictator who supports the worldwide advance of a religious organization that appeals to the masses but teaches the feel-good principles of human good and evil. Therefore, in the dispensation of the tribulation, human good and evil will be at its peak. You noticed how the beast dictator propagandized the guy down in Jerusalem. Said, hey, I'm going to cut a deal with you. We'll let you boys do all the things you want to do around that temple over yonder. It's okay with us for the next 7 years. Then at the 3.5 year mark, he says, I got you. The movement is referred to by Daniel in verse 27 with the phrase, under the wing of the abominations. You'll see that the word wing used in this context, I believe, in the New International Version. So we've got to take a look at that. What does it mean by the wing of the abominations? Remember, abominations has to do with ecumenical religion. Okay, so we've got the beast dictator, and he is under what? The wing of the abominations. You see wing used a lot to define God's protection of us. The shadow of his wings, for example, is used 2 or 3 times in the book of Proverbs. And we see the Lord's wing over certain individuals at a given time in Scripture. So wing is used as a way to define God's protection. Somebody or something is protecting the beast dictator. So under the wing of the abominations is a translation from the Hebrew plural noun shikus, a detestable thing, an object that is abhorrent or blasphemous, a blasphemous activity. So that is the initial breakdown of what this word means. The phrase also appears in the New Testament in the same context as Daniel's, namely the second advent, Matthew 24:15. So when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, namely a statue of the beast dictator, what he does at the halfway mark of the tribulation is decide he is going to present himself as God. Now, why this? Well, it's taken a little time for him to gain international recognition. He's going to, at that time, have his 10-nation confederacy put together. He's powerful. He's charismatic. Has dulcet tones, mellifluous voice. He's the kind of guy that at those days will be able to get on international television. Everybody will have the little iPods out, whatever they'll look like then. Everybody is plugged in to all of these varied internets. And he will get on these and he'll make his proclamations and his plans and his ideas. His propaganda will be spewed and people will buy into it and they'll say, oh, hail Fred, whoever he happens to name himself. And so when you look at this, how is it that this man who is now trying to go for global occupation and dominance and be a global dictator, how is he being protected? What's his secret service? Well, they tell us right here. You compare these two together, and the concept of wing means protection. Who is going to protect the guy? And the protection is going to come from religion. What will that religion be? Prophesy? We don't know, do we? but it will be one that is globally connected, which is falling into place presently. They're a candidate then. I'm not saying they are. I'm saying they're a candidate. You know, Pope Fran, you know, the guy that's into analyzing people's family trends. I don't know how to classify this guy. I usually don't put much time in the popes anyhow. They're bulls. But he's bulled about how many people they're producing. And so back in the day, because they were breeding like rabbits, people came up, well, they'll be a globally dominant group of people. And they can be led by this one guy, and surely that's the prince who will come. That was in the days of yore. Who's going to be the prince who will come now? Well, it's got to be somebody, doesn't it? Matthew 24:15, so when you see the abomination of desolation spoken by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, he's got a statue of himself up in the Holy of Holies, and he's therefore, by doing that, proclaiming to the world that he is God. So he's being protected by ecumenical religion. The wing of protection is religion. And he will be able to do his things up to a point. But he's possessed by Lucifer, and he and the false prophet down at Jerusalem, and of course, all others who are in his party, they're going to be dealt with at the second advent. And there's going to be the baptisms of fire that will get rid of people. They'll be sent away, as will be this beast dictator. And so he'll be dealt with. And so that's the guy that we've at least abolished tonight as we press on in our study. Now, when we get back here on Sunday morning, we'll note in Daniel that it refers to the beast dictator's protection provided by the worldwide religious organization that supports his global government. That's going to be the text we start with come Sunday. And we'll begin again right there. Now, Father, we thank you for the opportunity of studying these things, noting occurrences in future history, information given to us by the Holy Spirit through Daniel out of the divine decree. Therefore, what is written, let it come to pass. We lift our prayer in Christ's name. Amen.